The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome to How to Survive. We're here to get you through the stuff that can kill you.
Oh, you mean like bear attacks and earthquakes and fires?
Totally. And the stuff that makes you wish you were dead.
Yeah, like having your heart broken or peeing your pants or peeing your pants a second time.
Check, check, check.
Yeah, we should just play the music.
Yeah.
Ground is shaking under our feet. Mountains on fire, flooding in the street. Can't breathe the air, can't fight the feeling. Goblin down, Xanax ain't the way to be dealing. Gotta do better than just getting high. We gotta stick together if we're gonna survive. Ooh, how to survive. Ooh, how to survive.
Hey everybody, welcome to How to Survive with Danielle and Christine. I'm Christine Kimmel and this is
Danielle Koenig.
How you doing today, Danielle?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing weird.
You're doing weird?
I'm doing weird because I had a dream about both you and Garen.
Okay.
Very realistic dream.
All right.
About like weird show business. Not show business, like Hollywood show business. I think I'm talking too loud.
No. It's
like
it's my headphones.
Our show's business.
Our show's business.
Our show's business.
Uh-huh.
So I was talking to you about merchandise.
Yeah.
Guys, we're going to have merchandise soon. So
real
get excited.
Soon.
Get excited. Yeah. And the design and the stuff I want to talk to you about, which I actually do want to talk to you about. And it
right.
was, so I was having that conversation. And then I started having a conversation with Garen about stuff for Instagram that
uh-huh.
I actually do want to talk to him about. So it was like the most realistic
dream. It was just a checklist. And you're, yeah.
But the strangest thing was that I was having it with you guys in my hometown of Wadsworth, Ohio.
Oh, my God.
Standing on the side of the street. And then Judd Hirsch drove by.
What? In a taxi?
He wasn't.
Oh.
But he started yelling out the window. And I was like, Judd Hirsch thinks he knows me.
What?
He's got me mixed up with someone else.
Oh, okay.
And then my daughter, this happened in real life. She goes, Mom, are you okay?
You mean, okay.
I'm in bed. She was okay. Laying next to me. And I was like, yeah, what? She goes, you're just saying a lot of numbers out loud. Because I think I was talking to Garen like about money or something.
Oh my
about
God.
Like, well, if we could... You could see how much this costs, and then we could see if it's going to work out. And like, so I was saying all the things to Garen out loud, and my daughter was sleeping next to me, and I woke her up.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Talking out loud to Garen about
it's
work
just,
stuff.
It's just Garden Squirrel, honey.
I'm just talking to Garden Squirrel right now about business. Business, 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 business.
Oh my God. When I go into say goodnight to my son when he's asleep. Mm-hmm. I lean in and I kiss him on the forehead, and he wakes up. He doesn't wake up, but he opens his eyes.
Yeah.
And then he starts muttering.
Yes.
And I go, yeah, is it the pillow? Yeah. And then I start laughing, and then he'll smile. And then
I love you, Mom.
Clunk. I know. It's so funny. I got to film it one of these days because it's so crazy. He's just start talking another language.
Yeah, get that on tape.
I know it.
Get that on tape.
I'll get a big old camcorder.
Yeah, tape it. Anyway, here we are. I'm feeling good, you know.
From dreams to nightmares.
From dreams to nightmares. Today we're going to talk about hypothermia.
Now, I know very little about this. A, having not been, growing up in a cold area or ever living in a really cold area. So I'm very curious.
Well, here's something interesting. You don't even have to be that cold in that cold of an area to get hypothermia.
Okay.
You are about to learn a lot.
I'm excited.
I thought I knew some things about hypothermia. It turns out I didn't know as much as I needed to know.
What you don't know could fill a fireplace.
More. A whole house of fireplaces.
Oh, that sounds so cozy.
Oh, man. I want to live in that house.
Or an inferno.
A house with a fireplace in every room.
Ooh, I like those fancy places where the fireplace is in two rooms goes through to the other room.
Yes.
I think that's so fancy.
I like one of those rooms that the fireplace is like the entire wall, basically.
Oh, I don't think I know that.
You know, it's like a lodge where the fireplace is so big.
Yeah, that would require me to be in a lodge type situation.
It would.
Yeah, which I don't really know a lot about.
Well, you should try it sometime.
Okay.
I mean, maybe not right now, because I think it's not as safe to be with a lot of people in lodges, a lot of people. Unless you're so wealthy, you can just get your own lodge.
I am.
Get it.
Get it.
Get that lodge.
Get that lodge.
And then invite me.
I got lodge money.
Oh, wait.
Of course I'll invite you.
Do you have lodge money?
I have lodge
money. That's where we should go for our birthday.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about going really? Oh, somewhere cold.
Just get that lodge, right?
Hmm. Okay. Will there be hot toddies?
You know, maybe we shouldn't because we could get hypothermia.
Okay. Well, now we know how to address it, or we will after this.
I just don't want to. I like you, but I don't think I want to huddle naked with you.
No.
And that's.
What? Naked?
Yep. That's maybe required. We're going to get to that.
Okay.
So, okay. I want to thank my various sources before I start. I used adventure.howstuffworks.com, backpacker.com, Outside Online, CNN, and livescience.com.
Okay.
I did my research.
You really did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There are so many ways you can freeze to death. You could be hiking and get lost.
Yeah.
You could be skiing and crash into a frozen river.
Oh.
We're going to talk about that.
Oh, God.
You could be the victim of a plane crash in the Colorado Rockies, like on that show. Have you started watching it yet?
No.
Yellow Jackets.
No, because I don't have... It's Showtime,
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have Showtime.
I mean, just get it.
Okay.
Because I need you to...
I know.
It's probably you can probably get it for the first month free or...
Yeah, you're right. I got to do that. Okay.
You know, $9 a month or something. I don't know.
Because Great British Baking Show is over, so I got to find something new.
Why can't I watch that show? Everybody says it's the best thing in the world.
You know what? I've gotten sick of it, and then I've come back to it sometimes. So it's hard to explain. I don't know.
People love
it. But I get
it.
I get it if it's not your jam.
Maybe not.
Not your jam rolled up in a cookie.
They do talk about jam a lot.
They do.
I watched an episode, and it was like all they were talking about was jam. And I was like, I think I like cozy shows, but I mean, this might be too cozy.
It's really cozy.
It's so cozy.
You know what I'm going to watch next?
Hmm.
Well, I watched this show called Blown Away that was a glass-blowing show. I swear to fucking God. Do you know it, Karen? And they have a Christmas one out.
Aww.
So now I'm going to watch the Christmas series of Blown Away.
That sounds nice.
It'll be cozy.
Okay, so a lot of ways to die. Your car could crash into a frozen lake. Your fishing boat could capsize. You could just freeze from losing electricity in your own home.
Oh,
in
Jesus.
Fact.
Okay.
Okay, so that's not all the ways. That's just a couple ways. I'm going to tell you what hypothermia is first.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know. So it's when the human body's temperature drops abnormally low, generally below 95 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm going to talk about Fahrenheit and not Celsius because we're in the United States.
Okay. Well, when you take your temperature with a thermometer,
yes.
What is that in?
Fahrenheit.
Right. But you said below 95.
Yeah.
But 98.6 is normal. So below 95 is...
You can start getting into levels of danger. Yes.
Really?
Correct.
Just a few degrees.
Yes, correct.
Wow. Okay. I'm fascinated. All right.
Our bodies are constantly losing heat, radiating it out through our skin and losing it to evaporation as wind dries sweat or rain on our skin.
Okay.
Under normal circumstances, that isn't a problem because our bodies thermoregulate, producing heat to keep our temperature stable. But if we lose heat faster than we're able to produce it, our body temperature begins to creep downward. The result is hypothermia. Okay. That's just the basic definition for us to get started.
Right.
Okay. How cold does it need to be for me to get hypothermia? You might be wondering to yourself right now.
Sure.
Not as cold as you think.
Well, apparently 95 degrees.
Yeah. If the weather is rainy or and windy, you can get hypothermia in 50 degrees Fahrenheit.
Really?
Yeah. Or even warmer if you're immersed in water for a long period of time. The colder it gets, the bigger the risk. At minus 30 degrees Fahrenheit. I mean, that's very cold.
Yeah.
A person who isn't dressed for the cold can begin to experience symptoms of hypothermia in 10 minutes or less. Children, older people, and hikers with certain medical conditions may be more prone to hypothermia, but anyone can be at risk. The best way to avoid hypothermia is to wear proper clothing, mittens, not gloves, hats, scarves.
Whoa, why not gloves?
I think because mittens keep your skin together, which keeps it warmer.
Yeah. And yeah, I was saying gloves keep your fingers separated.
Yes.
So it keeps it warmer. That makes sense, but then you can't, I mean, how am I supposed to text if I have mittens on?
I think they think you should probably not text.
Oh, okay.
And keep your fingers.
All right. What if I need to look up what to do for, oh, I've already listened to this episode,
you
so
know,
I'm fine.
You know, because you have okay. this episode. You're playing, you can play it. wear proper clothing. Yes, yes, yes. Hats, scarves, dry windproof layers of clothes. Take extra precautions in extremely cold and wet weather, high winds, and around water. Water pulls heat away from the body about 25 times faster than air.
Oh, interesting.
So if you're going to be out windsurfing, Danielle, yeah. as you love to do.
Yes, in my mittens.
Wear your mittens
yeah.
and a wetsuit. Okay.
Like a hilarious Santa Claus.
Yes.
That's on a surfboard. You don't expect him to be on a surfboard.
No, with his dog.
With his dog, and the dog has sunglasses.
I love a dog and sunglasses.
It is just rich.
It's one of my favorite things.
Yep.
Drinking alcohol can actually help bring on hypothermia.
Oh.
Because alcohol, in addition to encouraging risky and irrational behavior,
yeah.
can also induce vasodilation, the opening up of blood vessels that result in bodily cooling. So mild hypothermia, it's, you know, below 95 degrees.
That's your skin, your body temperature. Right.
So the person can feel cold, they're shivering, they have consciousness, they're alert, they might have some impaired coordination. When the body temperature drops below 93, they can start developing slurred speech, memory loss, poor judgment, and carelessness. Okay. You just move the person from the cold environment to a sheltered environment. Replace their wet clothing with dry, insulated garments. Give them some warm food and lots of sugary hot fluids.
Oh,
so
sugary,
like, you know, hot cocoa, I would say. Sounds
that
good, right?
Sounds really good. I'm surprised sugar. I wonder what is some, maybe something about your metabolism or something. I'm just throwing words out, but I'm just
like
curious
it.
As to what. Maybe you just need a quick infusion of calories.
Slow heat loss by wrapping the person in a sleeping bag, a plastic bag, or a tarp. Huddling the person in a sleeping bag will help. So you got to hug up with them.
Yeah,
even
yeah,
if you
yeah.
don't like them.
Oh.
You got to hug up with them. And don't use hot water bottles or heat packs. This can turn off the body's shivering mechanism.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Instead, bring water to boil and have the person inhale the steam.
Okay. So you need to shiver.
Yes.
As a way of...
regulating, I think. They're
okay. So like how you need to sweat
yeah.
when you're hot, you
yeah.
need to shiver when you're cold. And
yeah.
if you... I wonder why hot water... bottle as opposed to like blankets and stuff would
I think because it's too fast.
It's too fast. Okay.
I mean,
it's a shock to the system.
That's I'm guessing because okay. when we're going to talk about profound hypothermia now, and this gets really dangerous and everything has to happen very slowly because the person can go into cardiac
okay.
arrest. So this is when the person's body temperature drops below 90 degrees, profound hypothermia develops. They become weak and lethargic. They have an altered mental state. So they're confused. They can become combative, irrational. They can go into a coma.
Yeah. The irrational combative is how I get, you know, if I'm in the shade.
Yes.
So I...
If you get chilly.
Oh, my God.
You look kind of chilly right now. Are you okay?
I'm not. I know my arms are crossed. I'm not feeling defensive, and I'm not cold.
Are you not upset with me about anything?
I'm upset with you.
Because if so, we can talk about it.
I probably have to pee, but that's just a normal course of events.
Okay.
No, I'm not feeling any of those things. I know my arms are crossed, and I'm not cold, but yes, I am generally freezing all the time.
I'm just noticing that I really like your cowl neck on your
shirt. It's a weird shirt, right?
No, it's not weird.
It's like an 80s sort of throwback. I don't know what it is.
I like it. It works for you.
Thanks.
So when the person's body temperature drops below 88, I know I'm throwing a lot of numbers. It's just...
Well, this is what you were dreaming about, probably.
This is what I was talking
about. Mom, you're just spewing a lot of numbers.
This is when the person stops shivering.
Okay.
Their heart pumps less than 2/3 the normal amount of blood. Pulse and breathing are half their normal rates. Their heart becomes irritable and unstable. The person is in danger of cardiac arrest. Rough handling of the person increases the potential for cardiac arrest.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. So what they always say, like, don't move the person.
Be gentle.
Right.
And a way to determine if someone is developing profound hypothermia is to have the person try to walk a straight line, heel to toe, as in a sobriety test.
Okay.
If they can't perform this task and is not intoxicated, this is indicates the progression to profound hypothermia. So here's how you help them. Handle them very gently. Rough handling may cause their heart to fail. Place the person in a sleeping bag or clothing on top of him. Any heat you can provide. Don't allow them to eat or drink because the potential for choking or vomiting.
Oh, okay.
I guess they're too altered. Their mental state is too altered. Okay. Rewarming is now best done in a hospital because of the potential complications associated with profound hypothermia. Okay. So you're going to need professional assistance now to evacuate the person.
Okay.
It may be difficult to distinguish whether a person is profoundly hypothermic or dead.
No, gug.
The profoundly hypothermic person may have a pulse and respirations that are barely detectable.
Oh my God, this is horrifying.
Double check carefully, feeling for the carotid pulse. It is found on either side of the center of the throat where the carotid artery goes to the head.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to assume the person is alive and do everything to this would-be corpse that I would do. I'm going to handle this maybe corpse as gently as I can because I don't trust myself to find the...
I don't either.
I'm not going to I couldn't find the pulse.
Bury him.
Guess he's dead.
Let's go ahead and bury him. No. You're going to check this for at least 1 minute since the heart rate may be very slow. Place a glass or plastic surface next to the person's mouth to see if it fogs up.
Right.
Okay. Would you like to know when to perform CPR?
Yes.
Okay. If the person is breathing or has any pulse, no matter how slow, do not initiate CPR, as this may cause the heart to stop beating completely.
Oh, my God.
If there is no sign of a pulse or breathing after 1 minute, what to do next depends on your situation. If you're alone or with only one other person, cover the hypothermic person and place him in a protected shelter.
Okay.
Both rescuers should go for help and stay together for safety. If there are multiple rescuers and it is safe to stay with the victim, begin CPR. Chest compressions should be done at 1/2 the normal rate. At least 2 people should go for help and stay together for safety. I guess you guys are in an avalanche or something. I don't know. Like you're not at Walmart, obviously. When this is all going on.
Hypothermia on aisle 5.
Like, you're out somewhere in the wilderness, I'm assuming, when this is happening.
Okay, wait, I do have a question because I missed something.
Yeah.
When do you know to do? Because it said don't do CPR, but then it said do CPR. If there's 3 people, do CPR. If there's 2 people, don't do CPR.
It's very confusing, I agree. It says if the person is breathing or has any pulse, no matter how slow, do not initiate CPR.
Okay.
So... It says then, if there is no sign of a pulse or breathing, after 1 minute,
dead. Okay, so that's why you do have to decide if there's a pulse or not. I just don't trust my own medical.
Well, maybe you're alone with the person, then you go for help. Okay. That's what it says. But if there are multiple rescuers, You send out a couple people. You send out. Okay. You know what? You go and you leave someone else.
Yes,
to do
exactly. That's what I would do. Search.
Yeah. I would be like, I'm going to go for help.
You be in
you
charge.
You stay
of
and
the,
do the CPR.
Yeah, right.
You want to also okay. Never assume that the profoundly never assume that a profoundly hypothermic person is dead. Until his body has been warmed thoroughly and there are still no signs of life. It is possible, though rare, that one without detectable signs of life will recover when rewarmed. Okay. I'm going to tell you some. These are very odd facts about profoundly hypothermic people.
Okay.
Okay? So, humans in the final throes of severe hypothermia exhibit a somewhat similar behavior known to researchers as terminal burrowing.
Oh my God, that's the scariest thing you've ever said, because now I'm picturing a nearly dead person.
Yeah.
Yes. Like trying to get in the sheets.
That's what they're doing.
No, come on, Chris. You're freaking me the fuck out. What?
Okay.
Oh my God.
I'm not done.
Okay.
In a 1995 article in the International Journal of Legal Medicine, researchers from Germany described hypothermia victims in a position which indicated a final mechanism of protection, i.e. under a bed, behind a wardrobe, in a shelf, etc. Terminal burrowing behavior isn't widely studied or well understood, but the German researchers described it as obviously an autonomous process of the brainstem, which is triggered in the final state of hypothermia and produces a primitive and burrowing-like behavior of protection as seen in hibernating animals.
I'm going to throw up. I'm trying to figure out if it would be scarier in my crawl space to find live raccoons or
a
burrowing hypothermic.
It's so awful.
Oh my God.
Okay, I'm not done.
All right.
Paradoxical undressing.
Oh, okay.
As strange as the terminal burrowing behavior might seem, an act called paradoxical undressing is even more confounding. The term describes the behavior among many victims of extreme hypothermia of peeling off most or all of their clothing, increasing heat loss.
Wow.
To shut down the loss of heat from the extremities, the body induces vasoconstriction, the reflexive contraction of blood vessels. Over time, however, the muscles necessary for inducing vasoconstriction become exhausted and fail,
yeah,
causing warm blood to rush from the core to the extremities. This results in a kind of hot flash
that
makes victims of severe hypothermia who are already confused and disoriented feel as though they're burning up. So they remove their clothes. Researchers have concluded that's what they think is happening. So paradoxical undressing often occurs immediately before terminal burrowing.
Oh, the researchers find a dead naked guy on the shelf.
Yes.
It might not be
the final position. Yeah, keep going.
It might not be, you know, as I know there's a million ways a person could end up naked and dead on your shelf, but this could be one of them.
This could be one of them. So listen to this. Okay. The final position in which the bodies were found could only be reached by crawling on all fours or flat on the body, resulting in abrasions to the knees, elbows, etc. So oftentimes there's a lot of confusion. They think they've found a crime scene. They often think people are victims of sexual assault and they're labeling them as crime scenes because they're finding naked and injured people. But what happened, and it's also oftentimes there's bottles of alcohol lying around because a lot of people who are like homeless and have, you know, alcoholism will freeze to death because they're not taking care of themselves. So they'll think they've come upon a crime scene when it's really that these moments of before death, they do these behaviors. Another thing that I found interesting is that oftentimes the people have a serene expression.
You know what? You are this is like the Blair Witch Project or something. This is what I'm picturing. Like, I'm picturing it in happening in jarring, unsmooth cuts.
True Detective. Yeah,
it's fucking terrifying. Yeah, it's a flat circle of.
They have a serene expression. It makes me think that they're kind of feeling good at the last moment.
Okay. Well, they're naked and they're on a shelf, so.
Digging.
Death on a shelf.
Death on a shelf.
Digging.
That's just what this episode should be called.
Death on a shelf.
I thought that was pretty interesting.
It's fascinating.
It's fascinating and it's very weird. Do you want to know how to prevent this from happening to you?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's going to happen to you, but,
No.
Let's just let's keep our everyone listening protected. Yeah. All right. Well, the best way to treat hypothermia is read the weather forecast before you leave. Make sure you're equipped and dressed for it. Have sufficient insulation and outer layer to keep moisture at bay. Consider carrying an extra layer or a survival blanket. Eat enough. Calorie fuels the furnace, Danielle.
Yes, that's why I'm thinking that they said the sugar thing, because it's the fastest way to get calories, I'm guessing.
As the saying goes, cotton kills.
What?
That saying cotton kills?
No, I don't know it. Really what it says? As the saying goes.
Yeah, that's what I
Is
found.
That like a slave thing? Like picking cotton?
Well, I would say, but for them, but yeah. It's not a saying at all, I don't think. That's why I think it's funny when somebody says, like, as the saying goes,
one peanut butter in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, what?
It's just not a saying at all.
Okay.
But apparently it dries slowly and saps body heat when wet. Instead, pick synthetics or wool.
Okay.
So if you're going to be, you know, out in the cold, I think that's why a lot of the times for skiing, a lot of the long underwear you get to wear when you ski is not cotton.
It's synthetic.
It's synthetic.
Okay.
Keep moving. If you start to get cold, keep your physical activity going. Even walking around camp or doing exercises can help. So if you're in a situation ever, you know, where you're stranded, don't sit and huddle. Move your body.
Maybe this is the time to work on your push-ups and sit-ups.
I know. Like, I need to.
Yeah.
Start a fire. Assuming it is legal to start a fire in the particular wilderness area you are visiting, if you have the ability to start a fire, do so immediately. Yeah. Carry matches or a fire starter as part of your kit.
Okay.
Okay.
A little spooky girl who can just...
Fire starter?
Yeah.
Drew Barrymore?
Yeah.
Carry a Drew Barrymore with you.
She's pretty small. I don't see why I couldn't.
No.
God, but the relentless cheeriness. Jesus Christ.
I think I'd enjoy it. Heat food and drinks and warm rocks that can be used to keep your sleeping bag warm during the night. Here we go. Shared bodily warmth. Sharing a sleeping bag or under blankets with skin-to-skin contact.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, hopefully you're with somebody you like.
That's interesting. The skin to... Okay, because you have so much body heat. You can transfer it easier.
Now, wasn't there... Speaking of Judd Hirsch...
Oh, and when aren't we?
We're often...
We actually have mentioned him before.
I know. That's what's weird.
Which I'm sure is why he was in your dream.
Of course. I'm always dreaming of people from three episodes ago. Wasn't there a Taxi episode where he and the woman, the sexy
Nardo,
woman, had to have sex in the back of a taxi cab so they wouldn't... Because the taxi broke down and, like, they...
I don't know. I'm
had
not...
Had to because they... It was like, it's the only way we can keep warm.
That's interesting. I don't know that show as religiously as I know some other sitcoms. I mean, I definitely watched it, and
I don't either, but I feel like I remember that episode. All right, I'm going to share a story about someone who survived, and it's insane.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
I'm 100% ready.
Okay. This happened in Norway. Fresh from medical school, Anna Bagenholm chose to do her residency in the Norwegian city of Narvik because of its spectacular mountain slopes. An expert skier, Bagenholm had gone off the trail with two other young doctors on a warm spring afternoon when she fell.
Okay.
That's what happens. You go off the trail.
Yeah.
Okay. What happened that day in 1999 changed her life and has redefined what is possible in cases of accidental hypothermia.
Wow.
Bagenholm slid down a steep, icy gully and ended up submerged head first in a hole in the ice in a mostly frozen stream.
Oh, Jesus, God.
Only her skis and Telemark boots and bindings protruded from the thick, opaque ice. So her entire body...
She's like a popsicle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only could see her feet.
Okay.
As the 29-year-old struggled, her friends Marie Falkenberg and Torvind Nysham... I'm going to mangle a lot of names in this... began a frantic effort to free her. Made impossible by a torrent of frigid spring runoff pouring over them into the hole where their friend was submerged.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
They called for help, starting a chain of events that is now part of medical literature and local lore. Bard Mikkelsen, a police lieutenant in Narvik at the time, took the call. I realized this was really a serious case. He scrambled a pair of rescue teams in Narvik, one from the top of the mountain, the other from the bottom. He also contacted the nearest rescue team in Bodo, nearly 200 miles away, but the Sea King helicopter had already left to transport a sick child.
Oh.
I told the operator, you must send the helicopter to here, and you have only 1 minute to decide it. So European. European. You have to call me back. The time is running out. The dispatcher turned the helicopter around. I guess that sick child.
No, fuck him.
Yeah, he died.
Yeah.
Heading the... I don't think he
hey,
died.
Kid, before you die, you want to see something
hey,
really cool.
Come with us. This is going to be fun.
See those skis sticking out?
That's a person.
That's a person.
You're not going to see something like this again.
Or anything.
Last moments of life are going to be interesting for you. Heading the rescue party from the top of the mountain, Katil Singstad skied as fast as he could in the wet springtime snow to the spot where Bagenholm remained trapped under the ice. Singstad said he and the others tied a rope to her feet and tried unsuccessfully to pull her free, and the snow shovel and small saw they had brought were no match for the thick ice. Then he saw another rescuer heading up the mountain with a pointed garden shovel. Using that tool, rescuers cut a hole downhill from Bagenholm and pulled her through the opening. She had been under the ice for about 80 minutes.
Holy shit.
I thought we were taking a friend dead out of the water. Yeah. Bagenholm's ski companions, both doctors, began CPR and continued until the rescue helicopter arrived. They winched her up the hovering chopper, giving her CPR and squeezing air into her sodden lungs as they made the hour-long flight to the University Hospital of North Norway. She had completely dilated pupils. She's ashen, flaxen white. She's wet. She's ice cold when I touch her skin, and she looks absolutely dead. On the EEG, which the doctor on the helicopter has connected to her, there's completely flat line. Like you could have drawn it with a ruler.
Oh, my God.
No signs of life whatsoever. And the decision was made, we will not declare her dead until she is warm and dead. Gilbert and the waiting team at the hospital were hoping the CPR that Bagenholm received after being pulled from the stream had provided enough oxygen to her chilled brain. When it's cold, the brain needs far less oxygen than it does at normal temperature.
Oh.
And Bagenholm was definitely cold. Her body temperature was just 56 degrees Fahrenheit. No one had ever been that cold for that long and survived. Okay. They rerouted her blood through a heart-lung machine and slowly warmed it. More than 3 hours after her heart stopped, Gilbert recalled watching the video probe of Bagenholm's heart. It was standing completely still, no movement. I just saw some little shivering, no fibrillation. And suddenly, it contracted. Pshh. And there was pause and a push. Pshh. Bagenholm was alive. But months of recovery lay ahead, paralyzed for almost a year until her damaged nerves healed. Bagenholm today is a radiologist at the hospital
what
where she was
the
saved.
What?
She has returned to skiing and other sports. She and Nashine began dating in the years since the accident and now live together.
Wait, he's the one who rescued her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bagenholm remembers nothing of the accident and adds that the event did not change her life.
Whatsoever.
I'm not so emotional. I'm more practical, I think, she says.
Okay. Well, she's just Norwegian, right?
Yeah, she's just...
I know, when you were saying she's, like, pale and, you know, cold, I'm like, so how would you tell? I
mean, yeah, she was already
Norwegian.
Like that.
Yeah, sounds like... Wow!
80 minutes.
So they just kept trying and trying,
yeah.
Like, because normally you just leave her for... So she got warm and dead. She got coma'd and dead.
Yeah, she was...
Coma'd and
she
warm.
Was really what? Just... That ice just, like... basically put her in a coma.
Right, but the ice, the coldness in a sense helped because you need less oxygen. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
I thought that was so fascinating.
That's great.
I didn't even think that was possible.
Well, thanks, Christine. My God, that was fascinating.
Well, I hope none of us die from hypothermia.
I hope so, too. We have just discussed hypothermia, and when we come back, we are going to have a fantastic, hilarious guest, Regan Burns, who's going to tell us about freezing his balls off.
I can't wait for that.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Welcome back to How to Survive with Danielle and Christine. I'm Danielle Koenig.
I'm Christine Kimmel.
There's no reason to reset, but sometimes it just feels like a professional thing to do.
I like it.
But not for this profession. Not for podcasts. How was your break, Christine?
Oh, it was good. I had some chats with Garen.
Yeah.
And
chats with Garen.
That's what I'm calling it. Chats with Garen. We worked some stuff out.
Oh.
And
resolve the issues you guys had?
I don't know. I think we have some more to talk about.
Is he not gotten over you calling him, what was it, Gavin?
We had no Gavin moments.
Good.
But we might later.
You might intentionally call him the wrong name later?
Yeah.
Okay. We are so excited because we have a fantastic guest here. You know him from 1,000,000,000 commercials.
Too many.
Too many. You know, if you have kids,
Dog with a Blog,
which my son was obsessed with.
Alex, and my daughter, loves it. She's going to be so excited when I tell her.
I'm only here because of Alex.
Aww. She's going to be so happy.
And you just see him all the time. Oh, I know what I saw you in that I bragged to my son about was It's Always Sunny.
I did do a Sunny.
Yeah, you were the bouncer into the pool.
I was.
Yeah, that was a great episode.
Yeah, that was a good. The trivia I always get with that one is, I'm forgetting her name, the blonde on the show. Very funny.
I feel so bad I'm forgetting too, but I will remember.
Garen will Google it for us right now. She was pregnant.
Well, let me just first say your name. It's Regan Burns.
Oh, hi, everybody.
Regan Burns is here.
Yeah.
Welcome.
So in the last segment, we talked about hypothermia.
We did.
Surviving hypothermia.
We got into it deep.
And now with Regan, we're going to talk about how to survive freezing your balls off.
Yeah. Well, technically, yeah. I mean, what a coincidence that you have me on the show about hypothermia.
I know. It's amazing how the stars lined up.
Now, you probably don't know this, Christine. Danielle just probably hears about my escapades through Jimmy and whatnot.
Now I see all your Facebook posts.
That's true. I got to get a new hobby, and I have to stop talking about it.
No, I love it.
I'm a bit of an adventure racer.
Okay.
Okay. Now, this is not because I'm some studly, I'm not one of those kind of crazy thrill seekers.
Okay.
You know, I don't paraglide or swim with sharks or anything like that. It all kind of came out of I got really heavy in my 30s. Mm-hmm. I found out the only thing I could do to lose weight was run.
Okay.
I started running and lost the weight. I got really bored with running. Anyone here like
a
big runner?
Yes, it's horrible. It's just, I hate running.
I still do it.
I hate it,
It's horrifically boring.
So boring.
Yeah, it's monotonous and, you know, you can only listen to so many podcasts.
I was going to say podcasts do make it easier.
It does make it a little easier. So I got in. I said, if I'm going to run and I have to keep doing this, I'm going to find something that breaks it up.
Okay.
And that would be obstacle course racing and adventure racing.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Which is instead of just running 80 miles, run 30 miles, go kayaking, climb a mountain, rappel.
Oh, wow.
Mountain biking.
Okay. I didn't know it was all
that.
So
are these those? Oh, yeah. It's like Iron Man kind of stuff,
it's
right?
It's kind of like that. Iron Man is pretty much just run till you drop, swim till you drop, and bike.
Okay.
Adventure racing is more they drop you in the middle of nowhere, and you have a compass, and you know you have to get to points, and you got to go through terrain that's unmanned or, you know, bushwhack or... Yeah, and what they'll do is they'll normally, really big ones, like I've done ones that are 3-4 days, they'll put a tracker on you that if for any reason something goes wrong, you can hit a button and they'll know your exact location to medevac you out.
This sounds really cool.
It's fun.
I honestly didn't realize this is what you did. I thought you were doing the sort of like... you know, like we've done mud runs, but I thought you were doing like more extreme versions of that. Where it's like
I do those. Oh, those keep me in shape. That's like a weekend thing. Like, you know, go and run a Spartan or a Tough Mudder or whatever.
Yes, yeah.
But I've kind of graduated into these 36 hour, 48 hour kind of, adventure races.
Okay, wait. I'm sorry. I have more questions because I find this fascinating.
I want to live vicariously through. Like, this is, I don't physically think I could ever do something like
you
this.
You could.
But I love the concept of it because it sounds so fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, just this idea of adventure of, like, not knowing.
It's kind of the unknown. And the guys who do the really good adventure races, like, are ones that will also not just give you physical challenges, but they'll give you mental challenges.
Oh, okay.
So I'll give you an example. There's one called the Endeavor. It's about a 36-hour nonstop race, and you really don't know everything that's coming. I've done it a few times. One year, at the beginning of the race, they said, for fun, they handed out pieces of paper. We're going to all recite this huge battle cry monologue from Henry V.
Okay. Oh my God.
You know, like, everyone together, you know, into the night and douth and shouth and a lot of doths and whatever. Uh-huh. And I've never been a huge Shakespeare guy. But it's this huge quote from Henry V. And then we're going to send you guys off into the night. Good luck. So we all read the monologue out loud and we're cheering and we're all pumped. And they go, fantastic. Oh, one more thing. At some point during the race, you're going to run into somebody. When you get to a checkpoint, at that point, you will have to recite this monologue verbatim by memory.
Oh my God.
Holy shit.
So not only are you running through the woods, jumping off waterfalls, you also have this little piece of paper and you're trying to memorize. And then when you got to that point, and of course, when do you think we got to them? At about hour 30, 2 o'clock in the morning,
God.
In the pitch dark, and you're freezing, and there's a guy with a flashlight, and you're like, oh no,
but
this
you
is
must
it.
Have had an advantage, because you're an actor, and you memorize lines for a living.
Well, I'm a bit of a thespian, Daniel.
Right?
Thank you.
Is this the Once More Into the Breach?
Yes.
That's all I know. I'm just, yes. That's all.
And so, yeah. And then you get to him and he's like, go ahead and do it. And then he
what if you can't?
Well, he would either do this. He would either go continue or he would just say no. And you could then go sit down and try to memorize it more.
Okay.
Wouldn't
okay.
tell you what you missed. Wouldn't tell you what you got wrong. Just simply
so
no.
It's, no. It is similar. Pass or fail.
Yeah. Pass or fail, and you either go on or you sit there in the dark and freeze. And the last thing you want to do is sit there and shiver. And
this is like Amazing Race.
I mean,
I know it's not, but I'm saying that aspect of, like, you have to, you know, perform a task.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you're running, you know, in the night, are you by yourself or are there other people around?
There are solo. You could do solo races. Mm. I tend to like to do two or three or four person teams.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a little more safe.
Yeah, yeah.
But even if you are a solo, if you're going to some of the same terrain, like, there'll be times where you'll be on a mountain and you'll be like, I can see lights of people moving. Like, you're like, well, there's a guy about a half a mile away. I could see his headlamp moving. But so, there are people who like the solo. I find that a bit disorienting.
Yeah.
It feels a little
that's
scary.
That's why I usually bring
alone.
Garen along. Garen's
yeah. It's your Sherpa.
Yeah, he's my he carries everything.
He carries the pack.
He carries everything.
He has the thing with the drum. The little.
See, it all comes back to the Saint Bernard.
He's your Saint Bernard. He carries the little jug.
I even make him, like, speak with a foreign accent, not very good English, so I feel like I'm, like, in
fantastic.
The Himalayas, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we're not only that, but we're getting over, like, a language barrier.
Oh,
it's like
you
role-playing.
I love it.
Yeah.
So that was my other question. When you're dropped in, now when you say dropped, I'm assuming people in cars drive you.
Yeah, they drive you to a location, maybe.
So why doesn't everyone just stick together? And
because not everyone is given the same routes.
Oh.
Your team might have to go 5 miles to checkpoint one. This team might have to go 17 miles to this. Break it up. You've been assigned to find these flags. You've been assigned to go to this.
I see.
Now, we'll probably all go to the same thing eventually.
Mm-hmm.
We'll all do the same river raft or whatever it is, but it's not all always linear like that. Okay, so here's what I've learned from my years of racing. One, I don't belong in the sea. And two, I don't belong in extreme cold.
This is me to a T.
Same.
So here's where I found out I don't belong in both. I signed up for a 12-hour race.
Wow.
Called From Dawn to Dusk.
Okay.
So it starts right at sunup on the beaches up near in Santa Barbara, one of the beaches in Santa Barbara. And you have to finish and get to the finish line by the sunset. This is during a longer part of the year, so we have, I think, about 12 hours. the things we'll be doing. We will be running. We will be mountain biking. We will be rappelling. We will be swimming. We will be finding checkpoints that are hidden throughout the mountains. But we're starting with a 5-mile single kayak ride down the ocean coast.
That sounds hard.
Yeah, but it's first. So in my mind, girls, I know in the back of my mind, like, last time I was in the sea, I got a little sick. I went, like, deep sea fishing, you know, and I was like, oh, I'm queasy and I don't feel great. And then I know I don't do well in cold, but I'm like, I'm in a kayak. I'm not swimming in the ocean.
Right.
The swim is later in a lake, and I heard that's fine. I know the ocean's cold, so I'm going to be fine. Garen, I'm going to get my kayak. I'm going to 5 miles. It's quick. Nausea won't even hit me. I'll be good. So we're on the beach. Mm-hmm. It's freezing, of course, in the morning.
Sure.
And the first thing we notice is that the swells are out of control.
Oh, no.
Like, so just to get out, so you have to paddle straight outward towards the Pacific, then get over all the waves, hang a left 5 miles down, and then come back inshore, where your mountain bikes were waiting for us. I know.
I won't go for a run and then do Pilates the same day. Like, Jesus Christ. Every time someone tells me they've done something before Pilates, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You did two exercises today? I don't understand. Yeah. Okay, so anyway, this is insane.
So, I don't know, horn is blown, and we're off, and we have to push our kayaks in the water, try to get them over the big waves, jump in. We, of course, have a backpack with you, about a 30-pound backpack that has all your gear for the day. You have to carry all your own gear.
What kind of clothes are you in?
At this point, I think I'm in thermal, water wicking, kind of, because it'll be splashing, whatever, but not really swimming gear.
Okay.
Not stuff that... It's not going to do anything about body temperature.
Okay.
Over the swells, that's fine. Jump in the kayak. I'm about the middle of the pack. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I don't do this. Obviously, there's guys up there who all the time. But there's people behind me. So we're going along, and then it hits me. I don't feel so hot. Yeah, I'm definitely going to throw up.
Oh, no.
So I vomit.
Okay.
Off the side, fade back a little bit. At this point in time, you should know that there's one guy on a jet ski on the 5-mile stretch going back and forth.
Okay.
Just to check and make sure people are okay. If there's ever trouble, the universal sign is to put your kayak straight up in the air, like your oar straight up in the air.
Okay.
So I throw up, and he happens to be coming by when I do that, and he's like, okay? And I'm like, I think I'm fine now. Mm-hmm. I got it out of me. I'm about a mile in. Garen is loving the story, by the way. So I'm going on a little bit more, and I suddenly don't feel good again. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get sick. Now I'm getting dizzy.
Now
the swells are starting to pick up, and it's a lot of up and down stuff. I apparently passed out.
Oh my God.
So I go unconscious.
Oh my God.
And... apparently tipped over immediately, and then as soon as the water hit me, I regained consciousness.
Okay.
But now I'm completely upside down.
Yeah.
I'm holding onto my bag, like making sure I don't lose that, trying to get my kayak, or it's a melee. And the waves
Wait, are you under the water at this point?
I was underwater briefly. I've gotten back up, and now I'm just trying to keep everything. I'm putting my bag with all my gear is now drenched.
Oh,
it's in the kayak.
Okay.
I'm holding on the kayak, the oar. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get back in.
Okay.
I can't even figure out how I'm going to get back in.
And waves are just...
Waves are just everywhere. Yeah. And now everyone's starting to pass, and they're all like, we'll tell the guy.
Uh-huh.
So eventually the jet skier starts... I can see him coming. He's a good... 2-3 minutes away. Now I start shivering.
Oh.
The water's really cold.
Oh, God.
Also, you should know that we're along the shoreline, but there's no public beaches there. Mm. It's like closed area. So there's not like, there's nothing on the shores. No people, no humans, no beaches, no piers. It's nothing. So he gets to me. I said, I can't get back in. My legs are getting cold. I can't get back in. He goes, okay, I can't go all the way into the shore because there's so much kelp. Mm-hmm. He goes, the best I can do is grab this tow line and I will drag you as close to the shore as I can. And then you're going to have to kind of swim and surf in. I'll do that. He does.
Wait, he's literally on skis.
He's on a jet ski.
Oh,
a big jet ski. You thought he was being pulled by a... Yes, he's on a jet ski. He's getting ready to jump a shark on his skis. The boat's pulling him.
Come on, for the life of me, figure out why it would be so complicated.
Yeah, why did he have a leather jacket on? It was very weird.
What is it called when you're on... Water skiing.
Water skiing. Yes. No, not water skiing.
I always get that confused.
Yeah, so
he was on like a skidoo.
He's on a skidoo. We could call it that.
Isn't that
skidoo?
What it's called?
Skidoo.
Okay. Okay, so he's going to tow you
how? He can drag me halfway into the shore. I hold a rope.
Okay.
Tie it around.
And you're in the water.
I'm in the water.
Where's the kayak?
I'm holding on to it.
Oh, you're holding
the
kayak.
It's keeping me afloat.
Okay.
I can't get my legs to move now.
Yeah.
So he says, I'll drag you into shore as close as I can. I can't go through all the kelp. You're going to have to kind of ride a wave into the shore.
Jesus.
I'm going to drive ahead and tell the truck to send someone back down about where to get you. Sure enough, he gets me closer to the shore. Now I'm exhausted. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to swim.
Yes.
I get to the sand and I'm lying there by myself. Now I'm really starting to shiver bad.
Sounds like mild hypothermia.
It does sound like mild hypothermia.
Going into maybe a more severe state.
Profound.
Possibly severe. Well,
based on our knowledge of what we've studied.
They send a guy back up in a truck. I'm there shivering for about 15 minutes.
Oh, my God.
He throws all my stuff in the back of his truck, puts me in the passenger side, and then drives me back down to the second station where our mountain bikes are.
Okay.
I get there, and the medics are not there. So he pulls me out of the truck, and he says, I need help. Is there a doctor here? And there was a doctor there who happened to be a friend who was watching his friend race. He said he's going into severe hypothermia. At this point, I'm not shaking anymore.
Uh-oh.
I can't feel anything anymore.
Oh,
see,
no.
Once you stop shaking,
yep. We learned
trouble.
This. You need to shiver.
Now, just try to see the picture here. I'm in the middle of a parking lot. There's mountain bikes everywhere. There's people coming racing.
Right.
Yeah.
They're coming in. He goes, we need to get all of his clothes off of him.
Oh, no.
We need to get him down. This is the best thing we do is lay him down on the hot pavement and try to get fluids in him. So I stripped completely naked in front of 500 plus racers.
Oh, I have to. First of all, I have two things to say.
Okay.
Regan is in excellent shape.
Oh, well, yeah.
So he probably was not embarrassed because the guy is cut.
Well, you know, hypothermia will make...
The shrink things.
It will, yeah. So,
I can't speak for that.
You're not going to be looking your best when you're sub Celsius.
The second question is...
Yeah.
We learned that you can sometimes become disoriented when you're... So are you actually embarrassed? Are you actually conscious of that?
No,
or are you just
this is what I remember because a lot of it's foggy. I remember them stripping me down naked and watching people go by. And a lot of the racers, while I'm buck naked... and they throw some foil over me while they come by are all patting me going, you're okay, we got you, or whatever.
Nice.
So long story short, and it is just about over, I'm laying on the pavement naked. They've got some blankets over me now. They gave me some water to drink. I threw that up immediately.
Yeah.
I continued to drink some more. And I could feel the shivering come. And the doctor who was looking over me, I looked at him and I said, whatever you do, kind of half jokingly, I said, do not let me die naked in a parking lot in front of these people. And he looked at me and he said, die? He goes, I'm going to get you back in this race.
What? Fuck no.
I was, yes,
like,
exactly.
I'm
pretty sure, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure fuck no is the first thing I would have said. I laid there for about an hour. Everybody at this point had come and gone.
Right.
The medics had shown up now. They got there about 15, 20 minutes after. They IV'd me.
Okay.
To get the fluids in.
Mm-hmm.
I got some soup in. And then about a half hour after that, now there is one bike in the parking lot. Everyone is up on a trail, up a mountain somewhere. I said, where's my bag?
Come on.
And I got my bag, and I changed clothes, and I got on my bike, and I finished the race.
No, you didn't.
Not only that, I actually caught up and finished about the middle of the pack.
What?
Yeah.
How?
Garen, thank you very much.
Garen,
you
was
know,
the best ship.
I was there, and I kept hearing the words of that guy going, "Die! I'm going to get you back in the race." I remember the time I was like, "You know, I was like, you're out of your
right.
Here's my number. Call my kids.
Yeah,
tell them,
right.
You know,
yeah, love, yeah,
the
right.
Dad, don't ever do anything like this." Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, hypothermia, if it hits you, it's bad. But I don't think, and I mean, I'm sure if you're in Antarctica and you're losing yeah. extremity and we may not sure. save your hand, that might lay you out. But an hour and a half later, I was like, well, I'm here. I mean, I paid the registration,
did
Danielle.
You can't get that money back.
You don't get a t-shirt
back.
Unless you finish.
Exactly. And you
right.
need another
that's amazing.
Fake metal.
I need another fake stupid thing that sits in a shoebox. I'm not that guy, by the way. Have you ever go to those houses where there's people who got the accolades of like, I've won this.
Really?
Every award I've ever gotten, whether I've won a race or just finisher medal.
Uh-huh.
It's all in one big box.
I think that's appropriate.
Right.
So how long did you have to contemplate, like once you were feeling better, what was the thought process like, I'm going home or I'm going to finish this?
You know, when I remember they brought me my bag, which was drenched, my map is drenched and everything. And I remember just going through it and just looking at my stuff. And I went, that shirt's not too wet.
Okay.
Like when it hit me, that, you know what, I've okay. actually got some clothes in here, because I would have changed into bike gear anyways. You have
yeah.
your kayak gear,
yeah.
your bike
yeah.
gear. And I'm like, I actually, this is still usable. All my food wasn't ruined for the day. You know, I was like, oh, I could still, I got a couple bars, I got some goos, whatever.
Uh-huh.
I was like, well, technically, I could keep going. And then I'm like, you know, I'm in Santa Barbara, it's heavy traffic that time of day. I'm like, you know what, do I really want to sit in the car all the
yeah,
way back to LA County?
That's so fascinating. I mean, it also, to me, is a testament that you also just really enjoy this. Like, you must enjoy the rest of the race.
I guess.
That it's
yeah.
not torture for you.
No, it is torture, though. I mean, it's
enjoyable
it's
torture.
It's physical torture.
Yeah.
But it's very rewarding. I think what started as, back me up on this, Garen, I think what starts as just, you know, like a journey to be physically fit becomes mm-hmm. like a how far.
Yeah, you're competitive with yourself.
But like I said, I'm not jumping off cliffs and.
Yeah, but it's still.
I don't bungee jump.
Right,
I don't,
right. Yeah, but it's still pushing yourself.
Yeah. I think if I knew that, like, well, here's the thing I learned. I'm never going to do anything on the sea.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I do races in the cold sometimes, but, you know, the chances of me getting hypothermia on those are a lot less.
Wow.
But I don't know why I do it, Christine. I don't know. Maybe it's a midlifer. I mean, I'm past my midlife now. I'm into my 50s well. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I always tell my wife, look, I'm not doing cocaine off hookers in Vegas. So if this is my insane
right, exactly.
midlife thing.
Does she object to you doing it?
Sometimes I think she'd rather me do cocaine off. No.
Yeah.
No, she loves it because she knows it keeps me appreciative of when I'm not doing it, which it does, you know.
Yeah.
It makes you really relish the time with my family. I think I'm more proud of showing them me doing this than Dad selling cheese on TBS during a commercial break. You know what I mean?
Totally. And it's just something you came by kind of later in life and just because you just thought, why not?
I guess.
I love it.
Have you guys had any like extreme cold, like running? Really bad day in the Mammoth or anything?
I'm not a very outdoorsy person. I would like to be more, but I'm really not. And also, I'm always cold. We joke about it on the show, yeah. but I'm generally freezing a lot. So
you got no body fat.
I don't know if it's that, but I mean, I definitely do. So I don't know, but I'm just always cold. My mother is always cold too, and she has body fat, but she will wear like 5 heavy coats in 80 degree weather. So uh-huh. of course she's older, so maybe that's why, but. So when my son was in like 4th grade, they'd do a trip to Catalina Island.
Mm-hmm.
And
can get cold.
So I was a chaperone, and as a chaperone, they tell you when you get there, you have to do a swimming test. Where
I am hoping the story ends up with her naked in a parking lot. Go on.
So you have to swim out to a kayak, and I think get in the kayak, tip yourself over, and get back
on purpose.
Yeah.
I highly discourage that for any listeners out there.
Yeah, because you had to like learn how to get
safely
out from
how to
under
get out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I remember I was terrified, and I wasn't terrified of swimming. I wasn't terrified of I was terrified of being cold.
Mm-hmm.
Because I deal with it so badly.
Do you have a wetsuit or?
Yes, they put wetsuits on us.
That helps. Doesn't do everything, but it helps.
Still, Pacific is still cold, even with a wetsuit.
I'm not sure if we did have a wetsuit. I can't remember. I'll have to ask another mom that who was there. But I mean, I did it. I just kept telling myself, you have to do this. You said you would do this. You have to do this. But I was like panicked. Like I don't get panicked that often, but I think I was genuinely panicked because I was just so scared of being cold.
That's so pretty much the same story as me.
It really is.
It's just it's about you did it on purpose.
And people were coming by patting me. You're going to be okay. You're going to be great. No, I mean, I didn't say anything to anyone. I was just like, but I did it. And I was just like, okay.
Did you get the kayak back over and get back in it?
Yeah, I did the whole thing.
Look at you. You're stronger than me.
It must have been a very light kayak. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't so hard. And then, of course, my son like refused to do all the water stuff. But I was like, God damn it, your mother did it.
Oliver's like, Mom, you're an idiot. I don't know why you would ever do that.
He's really not big on adventure. He's like the opposite.
But you know what? That could change.
I hope so.
He's evolving. You never know.
You know, during the height of COVID and when we were doing family walks because you weren't allowed to leave your house, mm-hmm. I mean, you would have thought we were torturing him. It was family walks were the worst thing in the world to him.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, he hates exercise. He hates it.
Give him 3 months with me.
Okay.
Can I have your son for 3 months?
Take him. And it was so funny because on Thanksgiving, we go to my cousin's on Thanksgiving and she like takes out all the furniture from her living room to put up tables.
Yeah.
And so all the couches were in the garage and they had to put the couches back. And I walk by and I'm looking at my son, who's 5'1", and his cousin, my cousin's kid, who's 18 and, you know, 6'2" and 180 pounds of muscle. And they're going to lift a couch together.
Nice.
And I walked by and I was like, I'm not going to embarrass him. So I'm like, you guys, right. I go, you guys got this? And he kind of looks at me like, I don't know. And he did it.
Yeah, he did.
And then they brought the couch into the house. And then we're in the car and it was like the scene from Dirty Dancing. He's like, I carried a couch. It was like, and then he came home. Jimmy didn't go because Jimmy's allergic to dogs. And he came home and he, you know, bragged to Jimmy that he carried a couch. It was so cute. So I think it's like he doesn't know what he can do, but probably that's not much more than what he can do.
I could totally see him talking that up with Jimmy, though. Like,
so,
yeah, I did a little furniture moving today, Dad. They needed me, so I stepped it up.
It was so funny because he's just not, you know, a physical big guy in any way.
What's the closest you've come to an adventure-y type of thing? Danielle's been flipping kayaks in the ocean like me.
I have not flipped a kayak in the ocean, but I do love kayaking. But I don't like ocean kayaking. I like kayaking in rivers.
Yeah, a river or a lake.
Or a lake. I love to be in a kayak on a river or a lake, which is not as easy in California, but you can find them.
Okay.
But I'm the same with the ocean. I don't want to be in it. I don't want to swim in it. Not this
scary
one. I'll swim in a different.
And there's stuff in there.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll swim in the Caribbean.
I get freaked out.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you will? Why the Caribbean?
It's warmer.
I know, but there's more things there. Like warm water means there's more things living,
mind.
Right?
But I love to snorkel. So like,
no, I don't do that.
I'm big.
Really?
No,
that's
I do.
Fun.
I love snorkeling. I don't. I won't. My husband scubas and I won't scuba, but I love to. I'll snorkel any day.
Jimmy would spend the rest of his life snorkeling if he could.
Really?
He loves it so much.
No.
Why don't you like it?
I saw Jaws one too many times.
Is that it? Are
that
you scared?
Is it, seriously.
Jaws traumatized me as well, big time. And so I do get like, even when we, the last time we were in Hawaii, we were in, we just pulled over to snorkel at a beach that looked good. And like, yeah, my son was out a little bit further than me. And the whole time I was just like,
yep,
shark's going to get him. A shark's going to get him. Like, but I have to overcome, like, I just,
why? They're out there.
Yeah, but it's
you don't, like, have to overcome. You know what? Don't that's like going, don't worry about them when they drive a car. There's other cars.
No,
they're out there.
I think we should worry probably more about cars than sharks.
I know, but when they're in the water, we don't have to worry about cars.
But
we
she worries about everything, which, yeah, is why we started this podcast. So it's fine.
You're a worried worried?
I am. Yes.
This is like why it's How to Survive, because Christine worries about everything. So the fact that she's able to let go. And maybe her son gets eaten by a shark. Look, we all have our crosses to bear.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's not going to be my cross. Yeah. But right. I think, despite the fact that I do worry about everything, I am pretty adventurous.
I know. That's what's so,
like,
impressive.
I still do all the things I want to do. For the most part. But I'm the same. Like, I like adventures, but I'm never going to jump out of a plane. Yeah. I'm not interested in, like, repel. Like, I'm not interested in those big sort of crazy, right, things,
right,
but like, I love hiking, I love, like, doing outdoors. I'm outdoorsy.
I think I could have you in an adventure race within like a half a bottle of wine.
I don't like to run though.
There's ones where you just have, we don't, there's ones where you just move a lot. It's a lot of,
oh, really?
Mountaining. Yeah,
I could,
yeah,
do,
yeah,
that.
She can,
maybe,
do it.
I don't like to, I don't like to be cold.
They have, there are a lot of warm states. Not, yeah, everything is in Alaska.
I want, have good, you done an Alaska one?
No, I haven't.
Are there ones?
Oh, yeah.
Too much.
But can Danielle come? Because I want her to be in my
pictures.
I think Danielle, and this is not a slight against Danielle, I think she would agree probably. I think Danielle would be the girl that's on the headset and the phone, in the van, you know, like the monitors.
Yeah.
You guys are looking good. You want them to go about 2 points due east.
She's drinking the other half a bottle of wine.
She's like the one in every like bank heist movie where everyone's breaking the bank, but she's in the van just looking at monitor. You got guards coming in on the left wing of the tower. I think because she's just very analytical. Yeah. She might, so maybe she could be like the...
I could see that.
Well, Danielle does describe herself as an indoor cat.
I'm an indoor cat. But I've done the mud runs. Those were really fun. I really enjoyed them. And I know they were not anything like what you're describing. But they were climbing over things. And I found that fun. They were going under the barbed wires, yeah, and all that stuff. Yeah. So I'm up to trying those things. Yeah.
See, I think we can also talk her into it.
Yeah, you can talk me into it.
Let's do it.
But I'm not a strong swimmer. And
no swimming,
so
please.
No swimming.
Because we're not getting into the
What
Pacific.
If the swimming wasn't ocean and you could wear a life vest?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I do that. Okay. Yeah.
So like if it was a lake crossing,
yes,
or like mandatory, you wear a vest.
Yes, it would take me forever, but I could do it.
You could just backstroke,
yes,
the whole way.
I'll do and that. Also, I'm not a strong bicyclist.
No, I'm not either.
There are so many prerequisites. Regan, I am totally into this. As long as there's no running, mountain biking, anything under 72 degrees Fahrenheit. Are there going to be food breaks? And what color is the finisher shirt?
Is there a hot tub at the end?
Yeah. I want to climb up things
therapist.
And then go down things.
Can we just
climb?
We just really want to go to Palm Springs and
my adventure
have drinks.
Yeah.
Is that what
Maybe
it is?
Maybe we could just go to a film festival or,
yeah,
something.
Is there a film festival?
Is there like an adventure race through a Four Seasons? Like, you know, a lot of stairs and...
That is, yeah.
I don't really like stairs.
The glamping version of adventure racing.
Yeah. I think we need to start slow is what we're saying.
Like, if the four of us were on an adventure race...
That sounds fun.
For like a 1 week, four of us.
Yes.
And we run into trouble.
Yes.
Who are we eating first? Who's the sacrificial lamb here?
Well, I don't eat meat, so I don't know.
But you have
you
to survive.
You got to live.
Oh, Chris just pointed at Garen as he was looking away.
It's Garen.
It's me.
It's Garen. It's absolutely you.
Mostly fat, so it's
it would be you.
Me. Yeah.
He does look delicious.
Thank you.
Who is the one person that we would leave behind? We go like, listen, the three of us are feeling good.
Danielle.
We're not Danielle answers for herself. Just like.
I'm like, I'll just do a plank here. I'm fine. You guys go off and do your hard stuff.
You'd be like, Danielle, here's a lighter and I got half of a power bar. I'm sorry. Best of luck to you.
Trash bag to keep warm.
Hear me out.
Yeah.
We do an adventure run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At an outdoor mall.
Yes.
Okay.
The escalators are off.
Okay.
That's roughing it.
Yeah. Roughing it. You have to hop over the food trucks or whatever they have.
I love this. Court.
Tilly's is closed.
No Tilly's.
So we're not getting any help there.
What
There's
about
no...
Claire's? Is Claire's open?
Claire's is open.
Can I get my nose pierced?
Yeah. The
Yes.
If I wanted to get a nose ring.
The piercings of them.
You can buy $5 cookies.
Oh my gosh. I would be up for trying something like, I'd try anything once, a mall adventure race. You know what? We'd probably make $1 million.
Yeah, let's make it a TV show. Well, Regan, we cannot thank you enough for being here. That story was amazing. I feel inspired.
Yeah, we're going to do an adventure race
and
now,
also
terrifying.
Sign up. Yes.
I'm going to send everyone a registration link and just look at the sarcastic remarks. Like Regan, we were lying.
When's your next one? Soon?
My next big event. I have a race this weekend that's a trail run. It'll be about 13 miles, so about a half marathon.
Wow.
And I got a couple small races. My next big one's in April. That's in Virginia.
Okay.
And that's a 48-hour one.
Jeez Louise.
Called the Shenandoah Epic. Wish me luck.
Good luck.
Thank you.
And do you have any entertainment-related things you would like to plug?
No, none at all. I feel like I'm selling everything right now. If I have one more person come up and say, please stop selling me Geico or car insurance or fabric softener. I'm the commercial guy now. I'm 2 more years in this business, Danielle.
Then you become professional. You're just that guy who hangs out at all the adventure races.
I'm gonna be the guy who does the podcast rounds and tells the same story over and over. Like, oh my god, here comes the frozen in the ocean.
But we'd love to have you back anytime.
I'm willing
this
to come
was a
on.
Blast.
Well, I'll tell you what. I will get as close to death as I can in
Thank
April,
you.
So that
Great.
I have a reason to come back.
You're such a giver.
You're welcome.
We will be right back with what we've learned today.
Stay tuned. Welcome back to How to Survive with Danielle and Christine. Are you ready to know what we learned today, Danielle?
I would love to hear a summation of what we learned today.
Well, it doesn't need to be freezing to get hypothermia.
Mm.
Let's accept that Danielle Koenig is a fashion icon.
Yep.
I'm accepting that. Terminal burrowing. Carry Drew Barrymore in your kit for fire starting. Oh, here's some factoids. In the 2-part season finale of the 5th season of Taxi, Latka, Andy Kaufman, is forced to have sex with a woman to stop her from dying of hypothermia with his body heat.
Okay,
not Judd
so
Hirsch.
Not Judd Hirsch and Nardo.
So now I'm going to have dreams about Andy Kaufman. You're not dead unless you're warm and dead. Cars and sharks are out there.
Mm.
You have something for us, Danielle?
I do. I have a well, actually.
Ooh, good.
On myself once again. I keep doing this.
You just loved a well, actually, yourself.
Well, actually, my husband did it, and he's completely right. When I said that the woman who sent us all the stuff was Ann Hunter, it was Ann Hunter.
Correct.
But then I made this bold proclamation that that was the name of the woman from All About Eve.
I agreed with you.
But then when we came back, we were like, yep, Ann Baxter was the woman from All About Eve, which she is, but Ann Baxter is not the name of the woman who sent us the stuff. So I don't know what I did. I think I was like, Ann Baxter and Kim Hunter, maybe, who is an actress. I smushed them together, and it was such an idiotic... if I were in my car listening to that episode, I would have driven through a wall.
You'd get that mad about it?
Oh, yeah. Do you not know me? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I would have been...
You would hate when people get things wrong. You would hate our podcast because we get things wrong all the time.
Exactly.
You would be like, that podcast makes me crazy. You know... I will tell you this. I went right along and agreed with you. So apparently you should be a cult leader because you have power.
I'm a fashionable cult leader.
Yeah. So
Love
you know
it.
What? You should really think highly of yourself because apparently I do.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. And also thank you everyone for tuning in today.
Yes. And thank you, Garen Cockrell, for being an awesome producer.
You're the best.
So on top
we
of it.
We love you so much. You know what? Everyone on Twitter, give Garen some love.
Yes.
You know what? You could give him money. Venmo him.
Yeah.
He would love some money.
Someone should be paying him for this shit.
Please send him money.
And thank you, Regan Burns, for being an awesome guest.
He was great.
He was fantastic.
So fun. Give him some love, too.
And as always, please reach out to us. We're on... Twitter and Facebook and Instagram at Pod How to Survive.
Absolutely.
I got it, right?
You can also just review us and give us 5 stars.
Yeah.
And we love to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
Reach out.
Bye.